We want to thank you for listening today. This audio sermon is a ministry of Faith Baptist Church, a place where you belong. Now let's listen as Pastor Todd Adams brings a message of truth from God's Word.
I'm going to talk to you tonight a little bit. By the way, you don't have to worry about it being a little bit. You guys aren't the last service, right? So you know what it means when a Baptist preacher looks at his watch? Absolutely nothing. How many of you did feel a little awkward this morning when you got up and didn't go to church? I felt a little weird. I was telling Pastor Micah that, I got up and any early risers in here? Do we have anybody who gets up early? Okay, the rest of you don't need to put your hands up. You've already told on yourself that you're a slacker, all right? So, but I am an early riser, and most mornings I get up very, very early, and Sundays I get up even earlier. And so this morning I looked over at the clock, and it wasn't quite 5 yet. And I usually on a Sunday morning I have a mini panic attack because I know that I have 3 services coming and other things happening. And so this morning I looked over, and I started to have that panic attack, and I thought, oh, I don't have to have that for another 6 hours just yet. So that was a little refreshing. And my wife got up soon afterwards, and we have a 70-pound-plus pit bull that lives with us. Her name is Bella. She thinks that she's our daughter. And so when Angela gets up, she thinks it's her time to get in the bed. So she got in the bed, which meant when she gets in the bed, I have to get out of the bed. And so I left and went out and had a cup of coffee. And I was sitting there thinking, I almost felt like I had to repent. Was anybody with me on that? Like, man, this is really not right. And so if you felt weird, it was Micah's decision to not have Sunday morning services. So you can blame him on that. All right. So how many of you have lights up at your house? Anybody have any Christmas lights up? We do too. We have some lights up, and half of them are off right now. They've gone out. My son's home. Both of my boys are home. One's at college in Chicago. He's home. Our other son's serving in the Army, and he's home for Christmas, and is getting reassigned into Fort Carson, Colorado. And so I said, hey, Michael, I said, when you get home, there's a job waiting for you. He said, don't tell me. I get to put the lights up. I said, yes, it's God's will every year for you to do that. We have a 2-story house, and so he climbs up way up high, and I came outside the other day, and I said, hey, son, some of the lights are out. And he goes, well, I'm not getting back up there again. I said, well, if you want to eat here and sleep here, you're going to get back up there again, right? I didn't say that even though I felt like it. When you think about Christmas, I don't know how you are, but one of the first things that I know Christmas is near, there's a little indication for me, and that is no matter where you look, you start seeing lights everywhere. Lights start going up. In fact, lights all over the world are lit. Some of you may know some of these well-known Christmas trees that are lit all around the world. My family and I actually have been to this one here in London. It's a beautiful tree that's given to them by the country of Norway every year for defending them during World War II. And Norway ships a tree over. And there's some other pictures that are going to come up as I'm talking about Christmas trees and the lighting of trees. Some of you may be familiar with some of these. Some of these may be foreign to you. You may not recognize them. But how many of you have seen that tree right there? Maybe you've seen that on television. And I think the next slide, you're surely going to know. Some of you probably have seen that one before. And it's important for us to understand that these lights are more than decorative, okay? Because they speak to the fact that light symbolizes the darkness that existed before that very first Christmas morning. You see, the lights at Christmas serve as a reminder that the world is indeed a dark place. And friends, we will never find our way or see our reality until Jesus becomes our light. This is the reality that we are faced with tonight. And in the Bible, there was a great prophet. And when you read your Bible, you'll know that there are men that were used by God to prophesy. And there's minor prophets and major prophets. And you can tell the major prophets are the longer books and the minor prophets are what? The shorter one. And there's a guy by the name of Isaiah who gave some of the greatest prophecies to Israel and to the world that we've ever known. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2, he makes this very interesting statement. He says, the people that walked in darkness have seen what? Oh, you guys can do better than that now. Come on, I know it's on the screen. Let's try that one more time. They've seen a what? A great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. A few verses down, Isaiah makes this great prophecy, I believe the greatest Christmas passage in the Bible. I actually went through this passage 1 year and took apart every one of these names. And when I get there, I would like for you to join me as I read them. It says, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called. All right, church, here we go. Ready? Wonderful. Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. These are all the wonderful names of God. And then Isaiah would go on to say this, of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. And then in Matthew chapter 4, verse 16, the scripture says this, the people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. Now, when you think about darkness, and we've got the lights intentionally dimmed, and I know all of you are waiting to, you're going to light your candle soon, and that's what you're waiting to do. And you're going to have to wait a little longer because I'm preaching right now, all right? So this is my time, but you'll get to your candle in a minute, okay? I promise you, all right? But when the Bible talks about darkness, I don't want you to think, you know, the absence of light. I want you to think about darkness really the way the Bible is referring it here, in particular in these passages, because darkness really is referring to two words, evil and ignorance. Darkness carries with it the ideas of gloom and despair and sadness. What it means is that the world is filled with suffering and sadness and sorrow. I mean, come on, let's think about what was happening for a moment when Jesus came to this world. Look what was going on in history at that time. The world was filled with injustice, with violence, with hatred, with oppression. Families were being ripped apart. You know, as I talk about this, as I wrote this, I thought, doesn't that sound like today, or is it just me? How many is with me? It sounds just like today, doesn't it? And you read about what was happening, and you read about all the sorrow and the sadness, and I don't know, I think all of us in here, really, I think we can all identify with the darkness that we see around us. I mean, all you have to do is turn the news on, right? All you have to do is listen to the radio or look at the internet and see what's happening, and you see the darkness that seems to be penetrating this world. You know, Christmas is a difficult time. I finished my series, It's a Wonderful Life, and some of you were here for that entire series. And I purposely did that series because for a lot of us, Christmas, it invokes a lot of feelings. And some of you are here tonight, and you're wanting to get the Christmas spirit. You're wanting to kind of catch that feeling of Christmas, you know, that warm fuzzy is what I call it, you know. And you're thinking, boy, as soon as we light that candle, and as soon as that guy's done talking up there, you know, I'm going to get the Christmas spirit. Or if we just sing one more carol, we haven't sung my favorite song yet tonight. And if we sing that, and there's all of this buildup and angst, and I don't know what to get so-and-so, and there's this pressure of Christmas. And then kind of like George Bailey in the movie, you know, it's almost like it doesn't happen. And some of us are here and we feel like, you know, Christmas isn't working for me. And I feel a little bummed out at Christmas time. Well, if you study Christmas and you study the history of Christmas and you look at the story of Christmas, you will find in the story a lot of characters. And so tonight, I don't know how you feel. I don't know why you're here. I'm assuming you want to have a candlelight service with us. I think I'm safe to say you're here for that, all right? But I don't know what's going on in your heart. But my sense is this, that some of you may not be feeling Christmas tonight. And so let me remind you tonight, if I can just walk through the characters of the Christmas story very quickly. Tonight, if you're confused, like Joseph, can I encourage you tonight, if you're confused, to be patient. God will work it all out. Trust and obey him. And tonight, if you're seeking like the wise men, you're seeking for answers, you're seeking for hope, you're seeking for what's next, can I encourage you to do something? Lift up your eyes and see Christ. A good friend of mine said this to me. He sent me a text just a couple hours ago. It's by C.S. Lewis, and here's what it says. Look for Christ, and you will find him, and with him, everything else. Isn't that true? Can I remind you tonight that if you're afraid, like Mary, be still, because God will calm your heart. And if you're distracted tonight, your mind's in every direction. Maybe you're distracted like the innkeeper. Pay attention because Jesus is near. And if you're stuck in a routine like the shepherds, let me urge you tonight, leave your routine and run to him. And if you've been waiting for a long time for God to do something in your life like Simeon and Anna, I'm here to tell you tonight, please don't give up. Good news, God is faithful. You see, God has given us his son to light up our life. But church, here's the thing. Christmas contains countless spiritual truths, but so many people are still missing the light of Christmas because they're choosing to live in darkness. Now, I want to ask you to do something. I did this at the first service, and I think most of you in here will get this. How many of you know the verse, John 3:16? Raise your hand. All right, great, great. So that means I don't need to bring it onto the screen and you can quote it by heart. That's what that means, okay? That was a little test. You said that wasn't fair, Pastor. I know, but you'll get through it with me, all right? So here's what we're going to do. We're going to quote John 3:16 together. Ready? For God so loved the world. Should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, we know that verse and we love that verse. We love to quote that verse. But did you know that some of the verses underneath that are so important and potent to us? In fact, I want you to listen as I read. They're going to be on the screens now. For God sent not his son into the world to what? Condemn the world. Do you see that? God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be. Can you see that? You see, it says, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Now, where does this condemnation come from? Notice, and this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, but what's the problem? Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. You see, the message of Christmas is not one of condemnation, but rather a message of hope for all who will come to Christ will receive life and light. Friends, there is no denying that darkness is around us, but the real danger tonight is not the darkness that's around us. It's not the thing that we see going on externally. Church, the danger tonight is the darkness that can be within us. And it is this inward darkness that Christ came into the world for, to be a light, as it's recorded in John 8, the light of life. Notice what the text says. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, now he says this, I am the what? Light of the world. Now it's interesting, when he said that, the torches that were in the temple that held 65 gallons of oil were being lit. And it is against this backdrop that Jesus cries out and he says, I'm the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in what? But shall have the light of life. One of the issues that is plaguing our society today is that we actually think we can solve the world's darkness problem. But the reality is, no one has the cure for the issue of evil or suffering. No one has the answers for what is ailing inside the heart of men. We cannot fix the world's issues with government, with technology, with education, money or intellect. If we could, it would have been done by now. We do not have what it takes to change the world within us. Even some of the world's most brilliant leaders have come to this conclusion upon their own. People who know God and don't know God. Take, for example, a guy by the name of Vaclav Havel. He is and was, the president of the Czechoslovakian Republic, and he himself had suffered under the brutal dictatorship of the communist government, had been in prison multiple times, was duly elected when Czechoslovakia got their freedom, a very brilliant-minded man, and he said these words. Listen to this. He said, pursuit of the good life will not help humanity save itself, nor is democracy alone enough. A turning to and a seeking of God is needed. The human race constantly forgets that they are not God. We need to be reminded this Christmas that the only way to defeat the darkness will not come from within us, but from outside of us. You see, there is a light outside this world. And what was that light? It was Jesus. Jesus brought that light to save us. He is that light. The text doesn't say that from the world came a light. What does it say? From outside the world came a light. In Isaiah 9:2, it says, upon them the light has dawned. And do you know that when you come to accept Christ as your Savior, the light of Jesus Christ comes to live inside of you? And that is the hope that we have to offer people tonight. It's not our money. It's not our government. It's not our intellect. It's not our country. None of those things are going to solve the world's problem. It's the light and love of Jesus Christ that will alter the course of this world. What this means is that there is hope and there can be peace, but it will never come just from us. When Jesus died on the cross, darkness fell over the earth. Think about that. The very light of life was giving his life, and darkness covered the face of the earth. You see, the light of the world descended into darkness in order to bring us into God's beautiful light. I think Tim Keller sums it up best. He says, in short, Jesus is the divine light of the world because he brings a new life to replace our spiritual deadness, because he shows us the truth that heals our spiritual blindness, and because he is the beauty that breaks our addictions to money and sex and power, and he is the light for us when all other lights go out. The reason so many are still in darkness and have no peace is because the light of Christ has not illuminated their soul. Peace and light are the gifts that God gives to those who come to him. Christmas means that through the grace of God and the incarnation, peace with God is actually available. Now listen, friend, if you make peace with God, then you can go out and make peace with everybody else. Do you know why some of you have no peace this Christmas? You don't have a horizontal problem. You have a vertical issue. And when this issue is worked out, all these issues get straightened out as well. People who are at peace with God tend to be at peace with the people around them. And let's be really clear about peace. Peace does not mean an absence of conflict. That's not what peace means. Peace means calm in the midst of a crisis. It means assurance in the midst of chaos. It means comfort in the middle of your pain. And it means certainty even when you feel confused. The song that our musical group was doing, led by Pastor Chad, was called I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day. It was written by a man who could certainly feel the darkness, and that darkness almost completely overtook his life. His name was Henry Wadsworth Longfellow. He was taking a nap one day, and he was abruptly woken up by his wife, who was screaming in the other room. She came stumbling into where he was. She had caught her dress on fire as she was melting candle wax and sealing some envelopes. The dress had completely been engulfed in flames, and Henry did the only thing he knew to do. He picked up a rug, and he wrapped her with this rug, and he began to try to put the flames out, and nothing was working, so he himself surrounded her, grabbed her, hugged her, and took her to the ground. And in the process, he was so horribly burned all over his face and his hands. Sadly, the next day, his wife died. It is recorded that Henry was so depressed and so distraught and so wounded and burned that he couldn't even attend his wife's funeral. Henry's trademark beard was a result of his inability to shave, and it helped to hide all of the scars that were there. The first Christmas after his wife's death, Longfellow wrote, and I quote now from his own writing in his book, in his journal, "How inexpressibly sad are the holidays." A year later, after the incident, he wrote, "I can make no record of these days. Better leave them wrapped in silence. Perhaps someday God will give me peace." Longfellow's journal entry for December 25th, 1862 reads this, "A Merry Christmas, say the children, but that is no more for me." Almost a year later, Longfellow received word that his oldest son, Charles, a lieutenant in the Army of the Potomac, had been severely wounded with a bullet passing under his shoulder blades and leaving him nearly paralyzed. Longfellow was devastated and broken. And in the Christmas of 1863, there is not one journal entry written by him. Finally, on Christmas Day of 1864, he was sitting in a house across the way from a church. And while he was there, he was doing some writing. And in the faint distance, he could still hear the cannons that were firing from the Civil War. As the war was nearing an end, there were still some bloody skirmishes that were taking place. And off in the distance, he could hear these cannons, and his heart was aching inside of him. And suddenly, the little church across the way began to ring the bell on Christmas morning. And that bell drowned out the sound of the cannon. And it was then that Longfellow wrote these words, "And in despair, I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men. Then pealed the bells more loud and deep. God is not dead, amen, nor does he sleep. The wrong shall fail and the right prevail with peace on earth," say it with me, "and goodwill to men." Even in the midst of his chaos and his confusion, his calamity and his pain, there was a light inside of Longfellow that said, It'll be all right. I have peace. And do you know something today, church? The message of peace on earth still needs to be proclaimed. We today are still surrounded by people who are still living in darkness, people who have no peace, people who have no hope. And those of us, those of you who raised your hands and said, oh yeah, I know John 3:16, let me speak to you for just a minute. We are to be the messengers of peace and hope. Why? We have the greatest news ever inside of us. Our souls and our lives have been illuminated by the gospel of Jesus Christ. We who have experienced the love of Jesus, we who know peace and the Prince of Peace, we have been called to do something. We have been called to share the light. You know, Paul challenged the church at Corinth when he used these words in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts, would you say this with me, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ.
Thank you again for listening to this audio sermon. We pray that it has been a blessing to you. For more sermons or if you have any questions, log on to www.fbcbelong.com.